In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. It's good to see you today on this external solemnity that we celebrate of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The feast, properly speaking, is on a Friday, but the Church allows us to transfer it as an external solemnity to the Sunday so that it may be all the more relished by the whole of the Christian faithful. Probably the only ones, maybe even in the state of New Mexico, taking use of this particular privilege. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Few things to announce this week is that first, the Junior Catholic Daughters of the Americas, our Immaculate Heart of Mary Council, or court, which yesterday was that feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Today, we invite you, all young ladies age 6 to 18, to come for a movie afternoon of activities where some of your favorite snacks will be served as we go together to do a beautiful thing to let this summer pass more holily in community at the Catholic Center, to join them on July 9th at 11:30 a.m. till whenever it is they choose to complete it. There's no end time for us, so maybe it's an overnight, I'm not sure. You'll have to talk to Joanne Velasquez. Her number is there within the bulletin to be able to know more about this. Come and join us and to participate in some of the apostolates that are entrusted specifically just to these young ladies here within our parish. Also, I wish to remind you that Aurora, that'd be the mother of Stella Marquez, Deacon Marvin's wife, is in not such a great position at this time. She was rushed to the hospital yesterday, and so Deacon and Stella were at her side during that time, weren't able to be with us last night for Mass. They're here, but pray for Aurora that she may have a speedy recovery, as with many who are sick. Yesterday was the feast of, rather the 16th anniversary of our own Deacon Marvin Marquez's ordination to the diaconate. So he served you here within this parish faithfully 16 years. And so we got him a particular gift. I had him open it for you at the last Mass, and so he knows what it is now. Now he's going to show it to you, the gift that was given to him to honor his 16 years of service here within our community. It is a beautiful pix where he will take our Blessed Lord to those who are homebound, and it has the image upon it of the Ecce Homo. That is to say, when our Lord was taken, stripped, crowned, beaten, and then presented saying, "This is the man." When you and I receive Holy Communion, we receive this man. This one is the author of our salvation. And so he faithfully, having served us, will carry our Lord to the sick, to those who are ill at this time. After Mass, there's going to be an opportunity for you to greet him, to thank him for those 16 years of service. The Catholic Daughters are providing coffee and donuts outside there in thanksgiving for this. Please join us if you can after Mass for that period of time as well. This is my last Sunday to be able to pass time with you here as your pastor, as we spoke about last week. If you're able to stay for it, at the conclusion of Mass, I will have some parting words to share with you, reserving to the end so that there's more pressure on me to be brief and then to be gone. If you can stay for it, that'd be great. If you can't, I won't hold any offense against you, but your fellow co-religionists might. Listen to the word of God. Our Lord speaks to us within the gospel, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What our Lord speaks to you and I today is something that he shares for us, not merely from the eldest ones, those who are most mature, but even down to the youngest. Yea, Violet, and your young brothers will benefit this just as much as the rest of us. What does our Lord have for us? He says in his apparition in the Sacred Heart to Margaret Mary Alacoque, he comes to bring a gift of his own heart, his human heart, that it might be exposed to the abuses of men, that they might know that his great love extends to you. Appearing to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque to show his love, the kingdom which he wishes to bring in his Sacred Heart, he came to her in an age when the love of the world had grown cold for God. If it grew cold at a time like that, what should we say about our own time? It was at this time that our Lord showed his Sacred Heart, as it is before us here in this day, behind me in this beautiful statue that has served our parish for so many years, to this humble handmaid of the Lord, this lowly religious sister, a bride of Christ, a simple visitation nun. He appeared, exposing his breast, which burns out of love for mankind, so that that fire may not remain only within the heart of our Lord, but that it might kindle within the world once again a love for God. Recall the scriptures. What does he say? In the scriptures, our Lord was put a question to him, where those returning to him said to him, "Lord, Master, which of all the commandments that have been given to us is the greatest?" When they asked that question, were those who were his interrogators, were they asking for an increase of knowledge? Were they turning to the Lord and saying, "Give us deeper insight into what God's heart is. We want to know the Father better." Were they asking him so that they could have a better semblance of what it means to really please God, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth? No. Most assuredly, they were not. They asked our Lord this question to put him to the test, that they might trip him up. They might cause him to stumble, that they might find some way of twisting his words, privileging one commandment over some other, that they may cause his downfall and destruction, destroy his ministry. Brothers and sisters, this is the way in which this cold-hearted world looks toward God today. The only reason why worldlings, the people of the world, pay attention to anything that's written within the Word of God is not so they may follow it and come to fall in love with Him. Otherwise, they would not be worldlings. They do it that they might twist God's words so they might fall into a seeming contradiction. God has no contradiction in Him. Our Lord is always, yes, He who is truth itself. They wish only to listen to God's truth long enough in order to bend it, that they might use it for evil ends, so they can dismiss it, so they can soothe their consciences as they flaunt their pride, as they dance through the streets on that broad road which leads to their damnation. How did our Lord reply? What did He say? Our blessed Lord said, the greatest commandment is this, that is, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He said, once you've completed that, the second commandment is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. But that comes in a very, very far distant second to what is first. Lo primero es primero. This is the greatest and most commandment, the greatest act that any man, human being, can ever offer to God. He just asks this. He says, love God with your everything. And what it is that you have, though it may be meager in your own interpretation, meager in your own possession, which is there compared to the greatness of God's love for you, He'll accept it. He knows how to make an increase. The Lord knows how to find that which is worth nothing, uniting it to Himself, and make it worth absolutely everything. That's the whole message of the Gospels. This is the sacred heart of our Lord Jesus, which so loves men, but is loved so little in return. This heart of Jesus empties itself to the very last drop of His sacred side upon the cross. The image of the divine mercy illustrates that for us. That when Longinus thrust his lance to the already dead body of our Lord, and those last drops of blood gushed forth with water, giving us the sacraments of the church, baptism, and Holy Eucharist, it's an indignity which to you and I may seem like it's worthless. Our Lord had already suffered. Why did He allow them to deal with Him so roughly? St. Catherine of Siena, great doctor of the church, this woman asked the same question of our Lord and got a reply. What did He say to her? He said, my dear daughter Catherine, the reason why I allowed this final indignity to my body is because my body, it could not bear any more torment. Physically, in my humanity, no more could I have, but yet my love for you, for humanity, was not yet fully fulfilled, not fully spent. And so I allowed that lance to pierce my heart and every last drop to flow, so that you might know that my love for you cannot be stopped even by death. It extends far beyond. This is the love of the pierced heart, the sacred heart of our Lord Jesus. This is His great gift to you. He wishes to lose everything out of love for you. But what does He receive as a recompense for His great gift? Not but hatred. Not but hatred is the way in which man turns to Him, that His commandments are spurned, cast aside, and abused, saying, well, God, in His love for me, will overlook my sin so I can go and sin boldly. Such were the words of the arch-heretic Martin Luther. We know how he ended. People wear sin in this age. They sin, they do things which should be to their shame, yet they do them boldly and in public. Men wear their sins as a badge upon themselves, branding it upon all their items to show their great sin, shouting out their depravity in a celebration through our streets. Instead of tearing their garments and shouting out their sorrow to God on bended knee, humbly beseeching His mercy, so they might be delivered from the overflow of God's abundant, that is to say, His never-ending or failing mercy. If the world acts like this, how can we blame them? It says within the Scriptures, and we know it to be the case, that the world is always the enemy of the Lord, always the enemy of God. In fact, our Lord says, to seek friendship with the world is to make oneself an enemy of God. So it is for you and I, if we seek to be friends of the world, to give in to the world, we prove ourselves not to be friends of God. We turn our back on Him just as Peter did, just as Judas did. But what wounds the Lord most is not that the world hates Him. That's to be expected. He prophesied it to be the case. What wounds our blessed Lord Jesus and His most sacred heart the most is that Christians treat Him this way. Is that we who are baptized, bought by the blood of Christ, regenerated, where He stamps His very image into our nature in an unrejectable way, that we ill-treat Jesus and reject His copious love. In fact, every time we willingly refuse God's love, we can hear our Lord Jesus speak out to you and me as Psalm 55 states, verse 12 through 14. What does he say? Listen to the words. Feel the weight. Jesus says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising up against me, I could hide. But it's you. It's you, a man like myself, my companion, my intimate friend with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship in the house of God as we walked about among those who worship. Hearing the sorrow of the Sacred Heart for the assaults that we levy against him, how can we remain unmoved, indifferent, dry-eyed in the face of such love and offense? So our sins are before our Sacred Lord. There's so many things which we could reflect upon on this great feast that we celebrate the second time in a single week, second time in but a few days, but let's be simple. Simple like children before the Sacred Heart. That is how he appeals to us in the gospel today, does he not? He reveals his heart to those who make themselves little children. There's one obstacle that hinders most the kingdom of God's love that he wishes to reveal, to show, to expose, to found within our souls through his most Sacred Heart. And like most things in the spiritual life, the biggest obstacle from a distance, it does not seem big until we examine the ramifications of something so small. See, the biggest obstacle to love, the kingdom of God's Sacred Love, his heart poured out for love of you and me, his kingdom within our lives, is this. It's our refusal to accept, our refusal to embrace his plan for us to be lived out in the present moment. The refusal to accept and embrace his plan for us in the present moment is the single greatest obstacle to the kingdom of God to reign within our souls. What happens is that we have better ideas, don't we? That we think we know better. We examine the situations of our lives and say, how could this possibly work out for good? This is too difficult. It's too much. It makes me feel too uncomfortable to hear these things, to know this is the case. We say, do you not realize that God made me broken? God made me this way. My sin, that's just who I am. That's what I found my identity upon. I have to speak my truth. Indeed, there is no more offensive thing that a person can say. No more thing within our age, embraced by our culture, that is more anti-Catholic, more contrary to the heart of Christ, than to say, my truth. If your truth is anything but the truth of Jesus Christ, it is a lie, it is a falsehood, and it goes down to hell. If we want to really love God's eternal kingdom, which is why you're here today, which is why you're in God's house, if we really want the words which we will speak shortly as we pray the Our Father together in unison to be more than lip service, to be something that actually transforms and is a creed of our lives, when we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we have to accept his plan on his terms. Then we have to accept God's plan in our life. Then we have to accept his plan not tomorrow, but today. So often we want things to be better. We want things to be different than they are. And so we say, well, if only things weren't so, sure, I could be a saint. If only things were different, of course, I could be holy. If only things were the way that I think they should be, yeah, I could love God like it speaks about in that second reading that Jenna gave us. But don't you see I have to deal with that person at work? Don't you see that I have to deal with this spouse, not that one, that my children are these ones and not those perfect little angels in the sanctuary? Don't you realize that our church is a wreck? Did you hear what the Pope said? Did you hear what the bishop is speaking about? What about those priests over there? Not to mention my own priest. On and so forth. All of this, it's poppycock. It's bunkum. It's hogwash. To speak in such a way as this, when you say such things as this, you're refusing the plan of God as it is in your life. Instead, we must pause and reflect, step back, and realize, yes, God has chosen me for this time. Not for another time. He chose me for here. God has given me this cross. It's mine. God wishes to make me holy here and even now. Especially when we're in times of difficulty, especially when things go contrary to my plans, that's the moment to step back. That's the moment to reflect and pause, to recall those words which St. Paul said to us. He said to you and I, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which we say so often from this pulpit because it's so important for you and I to lay hold of its truth. What does he say there? He says, all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. If you're baptized, that means you. He says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's old things. That old man is passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what he says in the book of the Apocalypse. Our Lord says, I make all things new. That includes you. Reflect on those words of St. Paul. He says, all things. That means even this situation. Say a quick prayer when you turn to the Blessed Lord to say to him, to turn to him and say, Lord, in this difficulty, what are you trying to teach me today? What virtue do you want me to practice here and now? How are you asking me to love you in this moment? How are you asking me to make a reparation to your Sacred Heart with this that you've gifted me? The reality is that more often than not, Jesus isn't asking us for anything more than a complete and total surrender to him. That's it, a surrender to him. To say, Lord, I give you all of this. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wherewithal to even begin addressing this problem. I know I can't carry this cross. I've tried, and it's crushing me, and I know it's not even at its worst yet. Only you can help me. I can't even make heads or tails of it, so I submit. Fine. Lord Jesus, I surrender this situation, this person, to you. Take care of everything. You do it through me, because I know I can't. This is another way of accepting what Jesus told us at the Last Supper when he was surrounded by his apostles. John chapter 15, verse 5, what does he say to them? He says, without me, you can do nothing at all. Nothing. Without God, there's not a single thing that you can do. He is the glory, the lifter of your head, as the psalmist speaks up. But remember, what does St. Paul remind us in addition to that? Our Lord says salvation is impossible for man. But not for God. All things are possible. That's why St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, who gives me his strength. Our Lord Jesus loves us so much that there's no detail that exists within your life. There's no event that's too insignificant, no moment that's too humdrum that he doesn't want to share in that exact experience with you. But you have to invite him into the situation. And this begins by seeing that particular event within your life as coming from the very hand of God, that it's an invitation, it's a gift, or I say even a grace. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Another translation says, all you who find life burdensome. That anybody today. He says, I'll give you rest. Those trials and those difficulties, those ones which push you and I to our limits, they are invitations from the Lord. So take him up on his offer. In the trial that you face right now, that's where our Lord is closest to us, is here at the foot of the cross. Remain with him. This is where we will share in his greatest gift of love. But we will never receive that love that God wishes to give us unless we accept and surrender. When he sends us a splinter of his cross, and we see it's merely just a splinter, and we know that splinter is far too great for us to bear. The choice is laid before us. It's in these little things. Will we submit to his plan for us? Or we would try to make it on our own power, our own way? We see these trials and crosses not as a punishment, but as they really are, an opportunity. Will we invite the Lord to be in it with us as he desires? Will we rely upon him and his strength? Will we allow him to bring us to that place of peace of soul, to bring that rest that he promises to our souls in today's readings of the Sacred Heart? All of your crosses, every one of them, they're heavy enough as they are, aren't they? Don't make them even heavier by refusing the help that our Lord offers. See, our Lord every time gives you and I things which you and I can't bear. Every time. Anybody who says different is trying to sell you something. But they're not too difficult for you to bear when you let God shoulder the load that he made for himself and not for you. Jesus wants to help you carry it. Don't make them greater by refusing his help. You find the cross that you have to bear to be heavy or too abrupt for you to be ready for this movement. Except the cross of this day, in this current circumstances, you find it's not the obstacle that it appears to be from first glance. In fact, it's God's perfect tool to you for your sanctification. That means to make you holy, to turn you to the saint that God has called you to be. That stone that's been hurled toward your head was not aimed at you to destroy you. It didn't miss by accident. It was God lobbing it directly in front of you so that it might crash, that you might find the next stepping stone that he has laid before you. And step by step, make it to the place where he's called you to in the way in which he's provided for you safely forward. If you only accept it as coming from his hands and believe with your whole heart in the words of St. Paul, everything that he says to you, that all these things work out for your good. So we can conclude with the generosity that the Lord has given us, pray together the words of Don DeLindo that he offers in that novena of surrender made so famous during our age. Pray it 10 times. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. All things, without exception, work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.